Grace and peace to you in God, who is our Father and our Mother, and in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Last summer, Lee and I went out to the ICE Detention Center southeast of town to join in a protest against the detention and separation of families at the border. As the sun set, we gathered with dozens of other people in front of the detention center and lit candles. Episcopal priest Carolyn Metzler, who some of you may remember, she has preached at All Saints before, stood out in front of us to offer a benediction. She began by recognizing that suffering is shared in a community, that while we were lifting up the suffering of families and children in detention, we were also lifting up our suffering, the suffering of the immigrant families standing with us that night, the pain that we all shared, feeling appalled and mostly helpless in the face of events. Then Mother Carolyn invited us to lament, to lift up suffering voices before God, not with words, but with cries and moans too deep for words. And she began to wail, to moan. And we stood, scores of people holding our candles and wailing into the wind and weeping, giving voice to our pain before God, who is parent to all of us and all those on whose behalf we were there. It was an uncomfortable experience at first to listen to those cries without words, a sound we rarely hear, but it was also very powerful, an experience of lament like I've never had. Today, we read a small portion of Job's cries of lament before God. When Job begins to speak, it is like he is curled up in a fetal position, consumed by pain. He wishes he had never been born. He cries out that he would rather be dead than continue in this existence of suffering. He accuses God of wronging him and almost mocks God. Don't you have better things to do, God, than torment me? Woven throughout all his cries of grief and pain, Job is also challenging God. He wishes for a courtroom where his case against God may be heard and decided, but then he bemoans that in any such court, God would be judge. How will he ever have this judgment between himself and his God? Job refuses to believe that he has done anything to deserve his suffering. He is afraid that he will die and be remembered only as a punished sinner, not as a righteous sufferer. And so he wishes his words to be written in a book. No, better yet, to be inscribed in stone, so that his testimony will not be forgotten. In crying out his grief and anger to God, Job is not alone. He has a motto for his prayers in the Psalms, in what we call the Psalms of Lament, the Psalms which cry out in complaint to God. Now, we aren't always comfortable with lament. It's telling that the only time these first 72 Psalms in the book of the Psalms, all the Psalms of Lament, show up in our worship together are on Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. Many of us have been taught that it's not okay to be mad at God, that our prayers are supposed to be filled with praise and gratitude and prayers for the needs of other people, but not really for ourselves. But the Psalms, all those Psalms of Lament, give us a model of a different kind of prayer, a prayer focused almost entirely on me and my suffering. Psalm 6 says, "I am exhausted with my groaning. I make my bed swim every night. With my tears, I melt my mattress." These psalms express deep pain and suffering, but in a way with beautiful imagery, but not with specific complaint. And so in that way, they invite each one of us to bring our own pain and suffering into those psalms. But the psalms and Job's laments are not cries of despair or unbelief. The very fact that these prayers are addressed to God show the faith of the prayer, that it is God who can bring hope and help and healing. To cry out to God in this way begins with the assumption that God hears, that God cares. Prayer of lament has its roots in the amazing belief that the God who created the heavens and the earth hears my cry and cares about my pain. To lament is, in fact, an act of deep faith. Father Richard Rohr here in Albuquerque wrote about the book of Job. The biblical book of Job is probably one of the greatest books on prayer that has ever been written. It breaks our stereotypes of what it means to communicate with God. If we view Job's story as a journey into an ever-deepening encounter with God, we keep the question of suffering from becoming simply an abstract debate observed at a distance. It is a text that only fully makes sense to those who have felt suffering, who have been up against a wall at a place where, frankly, God doesn't make sense anymore, and we no longer believe that God has a plan. Father Rohr continues, during Job's crisis, he yells at God, accuses God of all kinds of things, speaks sarcastically, and almost makes fun of God. It's this kind of prayer that creates saints. Yet we can't pray with that authority unless we know something experientially about God. We can't pray that way unless we are assured at a deep level of the profound connection between ourselves and God. It takes one who has ventured into that arena where we say that angels fear to tread. Ultimately, Job's story reveals that God cannot be really known through theology and law. God can only be related to and known in relationship. Or, as the mystics assert, we know God by loving God, trusting God, and placing our hope in God. Professor Catherine Schifferdecker offers an image of a person in lament. The posture of lament, she says, is shaking one's fist at God with one hand while clinging desperately to God with the other. And so we see Job in his lament move from that fetal position into that posture of lament, clinging with one hand, shaking his fist with the other, but demanding that God hear and respond. I know that my Redeemer lives and that I will see him, Job declares. Even in his suffering and anger, he longs for God. And he believes that seeing God will bring hope and healing. I am reminded watching Job's struggle that the name Israel, the name for the people of God, means one who strives with God. God's people are the people who engage fully with God in praise and complaint, in joy and tears, in gratitude and anger, in hope and fear. God invites God's people, all of us, to bring our full selves and all of our feelings and longings into our prayers. We are living in a time that invites us to explore what it means to lament. a time when we are all sharing in suffering, in grief, anxiety, uncertainty, isolation. We don't know what will happen in this next year, how long this pandemic will last. We don't know how to find our way out of the systemic injustice that mars our communities. We don't know what comes next. If we were all together in a room, I might invite you to join me in lifting up a lament, as Mother Carolyn taught me, with groans and sighs too deep for words. But that wouldn't really work on Zoom, because it won't allow our voices to join together, and it would feel a little strange to all be moaning and wailing in our own living rooms. So you guys are off the hook for that. Yet we will give space for lament in today's service. Our prayers of the people are prayers of lament today, and you are invited to add your specific prayers of grief or anxiety in the chat during the prayers today. The song offered up during the offering is Lament as well, a song which lifts up our pain and longing, our hope and our expectation for God, and moves beautifully into love and trust. And in closing, I want to remind you in this season of shared lament that even though the church is still semi-closed, pastoral care is available. So please call if you need to talk, if you need to have someone to listen to you or to pray with you. I am ready to sit with you and share your lament, even if it is over Zoom. May God be with you and be with all of us in this time. Amen.